This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. I'm co-host Randy Eccles. I noticed something was going on at the Capitol and was curious about it, wanted to learn more. And basically, it revolves around the concept of prescribed burns. So we invited a couple guests from the Nature Conservancy to come in and tell us more about what's going on. I'd like to welcome in Alicia Sanchez and Theron Hobson. Alicia, what is happening right now with prescribed burns? And then we'll get into more detail about it.
We just left the State House. Today is Environmental Lobby Day. So we have advocates from across the state coming down to Springfield, talking with their elected officials about critical conservation legislation. And the Nature Conservancy is co-leading on a bill that would decrease barriers to getting more prescribed fire on the ground, good fire, as we call it. The Nature Conservancy co-leads in the use of prescribed fire across the state with different land trusts and NGO partners.
Why is legislation needed?
The Nature Conservancy, along with several different land trusts, nonprofit partners, have encountered more and more barriers in obtaining affordable insurance to conduct prescribed fire work. This issue is multifaceted. Sometimes the insurance is cost prohibitively expensive. Sometimes the insurance policies available will enact restrictions on the amount of controlled burns practitioners can conduct per year. Sometimes there's just simply a lack of clarity as to whether or not prescribed burns are covered or not, which is posing a lot of issues, just not for the Nature Conservancy, but our land trusts, NGO partners across the state that are also trying to leverage prescribed fire.
This uncertainty on the insurance situation preventing prescribed burns from happening?
Yes. It is a huge barrier in getting more prescribed fire on the ground, to the point where many different nonprofits and restoration groups we've spoken with do not conduct prescribed burns, which is unfortunate because it is a critical stewardship tool.
Theron, why are prescribed burns even necessary?
Illinois and most of North America is fire-adapted ecosystems. The plants and even the animals that exist in different habitats depend on fire. What fire does is it stimulates new growth and it removes a lot of built-up fuels, like, you know, leaves and grasses and things like that, that combust. I'm from Southern Illinois. We do a lot of work around the Shawnee National Forest, in which we have almost 400,000 acres of publicly owned land that's in conservation. Not enough people to work it. The Nature Conservancy's role is shared stewardship, and we do a lot of prescribed fire with our partners down there. The U.S. Forest Service, Illinois Department of Natural Resources, and other NGOs that do prescribed fire. It's one of the most critical tools that we can use to get a lot of landscape scale conservation work done. One of the things that's critical, we burn a lot of oak hickory woodlands in Southern Illinois in the rolling Shawnee National Forest. Fire is critical for oak and hickory regeneration. Also, unfortunately, we have a lot of non-native invasive species in all of North America. They're pretty bad around the Shawnee Forest. A lot of those species are not fire adapted. Fire will tend to knock them back. It allows for our native vegetation to thrive. Oaks in particular, that when the acorns hit the forest floor, if they're sitting on 3 or 4 inches of duff or leaf material, they require being in contact with mineral soil.
You know, they can't penetrate the leaf.
No, they just sit on top and they don't germinate. Unless they're buried by a squirrel, they're not going to germinate. Removing that fuel or that duff layer helps the oaks to regenerate.
I hear frequently, mainly from out west where there's more wildfire issues, that prescribed burns sometimes are the thing that worries people, and we've heard some of them turn into big fires. Is it safer in Illinois to use prescribed burns? Is it safe out west to use them and it's just a situation that gets out of control?
Illinois' Prescribed Burn Act, which Theron and the Nature Conservancy helped launch in 2009, sets forth robust safety standards. Prescribed fire practitioners have to go through multiple layers of training, as well as criteria around the conditions of the day, making sure that we're measuring the amount of wind and maintaining positive communications with local fire personnel. this legislation that we're attempting was actually modeled after Western states that have to contend with a lot of wildfire risk to add an additional layer of security. As with any outdoor activity, there are residual risks. And essentially, this legislation would add an additional layer of security in the off chance that something were to go wrong.
It is a highly regulated type of thing. If somebody's going to do a prescribed burn, they just don't walk out and start something up.
We call it prescribed fire for a reason, because there's an actual prescription that's written. Sometimes they're multi-page and they have a lot of different parameters, not only weather parameters, but safety parameters, a description of how the burn boss wants the day to turn out, how the crews are aligned, what kind of resources are on site, contingency plans if something doesn't go quite as the way you want. As far as prescribed fire, it's pretty safe. Less than 0.04 incidents occur with prescribed fire. An incident could be hopping a control line or getting out of the actual unit, but it's pretty rare.
Those crews, they're like fire crews, I would assume. They are there to, if it goes out of control or jumps, they can do something about it.
Absolutely. It takes a lot of training. The Nature Conservancy is part of the National Wildfire Coordinating Group. It's a group of different organizations from federal to state to non-government. We are held to strict guidelines and adherence. I'm an RXB2, which is a burn boss. It takes years to get to that level. I've been a burn boss for 25 years now. I would compare it to getting a master's degree in wildland fire.
What's gone into becoming a burn boss?
It's a lot of experience, for one thing. As a crew member, experience with ignition and holding and firing operations, then you kind of move up the ranks and different coursework. I've been all over the country taking courses. I did my Burn Boss Academy in Arizona, a lot different fuel conditions than we have here in Illinois. It takes a very long time. We have 7 burn bosses that work for the Nature Conservancy in Illinois, which is a lot for different chapters of the Nature Conservancy. We've got an embarrassment of riches when it comes to qualified burn personnel. We do it safe, take it very serious.
How many have you done over your career?
Hundreds. I would say I've been a burn boss for well over 300 fires.
When planned, they get canceled because the weather changes?
Absolutely.
Does it ever happen during a burn that suddenly you have to try to shut it down?
It does. I've bossed a few fires where things change a little bit and it's just not going quite right, so we have to shut it down.
That usually just some sort of front or weather condition moving in?
Yeah, wind shift, especially if you have critical infrastructure that you're trying to protect. The wind shifts, we just call it a day, shut the fire down, live to burn another day.
Where are people most likely to witness burns? You talk about down in the Shawnee, but if they're in central Illinois, are there areas here that could prescribe burns?
Oh, yes. I was just on a call with the Grand Prairie Friends, some Sangamon County groups as well, and I'm from Chicago, Cook County, which is a densely urbanized, populated environment. I'm on the north side. I'm nearby Forest Preserve, Cook County sites. And as well, we see prescribed burns in Cook County and Chicago. And I've been really heartened at how the fire practitioners have begun communicating with the local community, leveraging social media, the internet, to inform folks about prescribed burns so they know what to expect. Over the past couple of years in Illinois, we have been able to successfully educate folks about the importance of prescribed fire.
I was a little alarmed when I was young. The first time I saw it, I thought it was a bad fire, but it was actually a farmer doing a burn of his ditch in front of a field, and it was just sort of burning off. I asked my grandparent if we should call the fire department. He said, oh, no, they're just doing maintenance there and burn. Are there non-authorized burns occasionally that give a problem to trying to do the burns you want to do?
Occasionally. It's pretty common practice. I'm from about an hour west of here, Meridosha, Illinois, where I grew up at. Farmers, they burn their ditches off, they burn their levees along the river. Prescribed fire that we do is a lot more controlled. Yeah, we've got a lot of equipment, personnel that are highly trained. It's not just lighting and walking away, which does tend to happen it's private landowners, so they're able to do what they want on their private land. If they want to do a safe, controlled burn, it's best to work with professionals.
Have you faced where lightning has struck and you've gotten called in because it started a burn in one of the areas that you usually maintain?
Yeah, I mentioned the Shawnee National Forest. Occasionally, we do get lightning strike fires or fires that are started by someone that leaves an unattended campfire. There was about a half a dozen wildfires in southern Illinois this season. We've got a crew of 10 that work in and around the Shawnee Forest. They get dispatched out along with the Forest Service partners to wildfires occasionally. They're prepared, they're ready, they know when peak wildfire season is, and they've got their gear with them, the radios ready for a call. Sometimes when it's like a red flag warning day, which is a day that you really shouldn't be doing open burning, they will be extra prepared, and sometimes even going out in the field in certain areas that we know that are fire prone, waiting.
Be on standby.
Yep, be on standby. Those young people that work on our crew, they do a lot of Western wildfire details as well.
Might get flown out when there's a situation.
Yeah, absolutely. They get dispatched out through the Interagency Dispatch Center in Murfreesboro. We had a couple years ago, one of our fire practitioners go to British Columbia in Canada, all over the West, California, Oregon, Montana.
Sounds like an interesting career. After a prescribed fire, what would people see now that debris has been cleared? What happens to the prairie or the area that's been burned?
Greens up amazingly fast. The plant response is really, really good, especially with our native plants. That Illinois used to be covered by 2/3 tall grass prairie. Now we have less than 0.1% remaining. What we do have thrives on prescribed fire. For millennia, indigenous peoples have seen the impacts of fire and have done a lot of burning over the years. We kind of had a gap after the early 1900s where fire was suppressed, and then our ecosystem sort of degraded by lack of fire, and we're slowly trying to bring that back. The Illinois Prescribed Fire Council, which the Nature Conservancy helped to found a few years ago, they did a study of all the conservation lands in Illinois and the frequency of fire, and the fire needs assessment was what it was called, and it was determined that we got a real lack of fire in our native ecosystems. So they actively try to promote prescribed fire.
And a lack of fire probably leads to more fuel being available for fires that you don't want to have happen.
Exactly. Yes.
This is Community Voices on 91.9 UIS. We're talking with Theron Hobson and with Alicia Sanchez of the Nature Conservancy. Alicia, what worries you about the current situation? Do you think this is getting well-received and is going to get passed? This is an insurance fund that's being set up?
Yes. So currently, right now, we're in talks with key stakeholders, such as the Illinois Department of Natural Resources, because as the bill is written, it would be a state-led program. And I'm sure I'm preaching to the choir here. The state of Illinois is facing a tight budget this year, and so we're working with the Illinois Department of Natural Resources bill lead. Senator Martwick is leading in the Senate, Representative Moeller in the House, to discuss a pay for. We're not quite sure at this point if this is going to be an educational year. I have gotten some really great feedback, knock on wood, that we might be able to move forward with some committee votes this session. But if not, we are ready to go for next session and we'll be doing this again.
Part of the key to setting up this fund is getting some funding.
Yes.
Got it.
Yes.
Anything else you'd like to tell us about prescribed burns or what you're trying to accomplish?
With the safety component, I was doing some deep digging when I was drafting this piece of legislation, and I was having trouble finding incidences or statistics of prescribed burns jumping the line. In the western states that have already established similar claim funds, we have not seen claims yet. And granted, these programs are very new, but I think that really speaks well to the safety that prescribed fire practitioners observe here. I'm excited to see what the next couple of weeks hold at the State House.
Theron, anything you'd like to leave us with?
Yeah, so mentioning some of the western states that already have these established funds. A couple years ago, we were at a Burn Boss meeting, Nature Conservancy Burn Boss meeting in California. There was a group from Illinois. We were sitting around the table, and there was a presentation about California's prescribed fire liability fund and how it's increased the use of prescribed fire and added more prescribed burn associations. So we kind of looked at each other and was like, why can't we do that in Illinois and get more fire on the ground?
Good luck on making the right things happen. And we appreciate you being on Community Voices today. Alicia Sanchez and Theron Hobson of the Nature Conservancy on prescribed fires and insurance funds getting started up at the state level that might help be able to make more of them happen.
Yes, thank you so much.
Thank you.
Community Voices has brought over 3,000 segments to you in our first 5 years. That's a lot of neighbors, organizations, and events to get to know. But there's nearly a 500,000 people in Central Illinois, so there's a long way to go. Help us. Suggest a guest. Email communityvoices@mprillinois.org. Get to know all of our neighbors. With Community Voices, weekdays at noon and 10 p.m.